It is a pleasure to introduce the speaker, who is a personal friend, and in our spirit of variety, add an international dimension. And in a moment you'll hear Pastor David Kay, and his connection to homeschooling is profound in the sense that in 1996, his master's thesis in England for his Master of Arts program thesis was essentially why Christian parents choose homeschool, 1996. So he was on the cutting edge, and England moved much slower to homeschooling than Americans did, as a matter of fact. He is a pastor that's pastoring Wooden Valley Evangelical Church, which is an independent Reformed Baptist church since 1993. He's helped with the Christian Worship Publication Trust, which brought the new hymn book Christian Worship to the Christian public in 2010. In January 2018, in the spirit of a lifelong learner and teacher, he was active with others in opening and a trustee seminary in Salisbury. He now lectures and leads in the pastoral studies department there, and he also is very active in Barnstaple with an evangelistic outreach for years. They have preached in the streets there in Barnstaple, and I want you to hear this because you don't hear it very often. How many years have you done that? 20? 20 years. Faithfully, they have not yet, to their knowledge, seen someone get saved. I think that's the type of testimony we need to hear about. That faithful, that time. You're going to enjoy my friend, Pastor David Kay. So let's welcome him from the mother country to America as he speaks to us.
Well, that's a new experience to be introduced in such a full way, and I don't deserve any of that, but here I am as God's servant to preach God's word to you and to the class as well. And it's a bit difficult. I have a congregation in front of me, but also a congregation behind me. And so you'll forgive me if I occasionally turn around and speak to them, and you'll forgive me if I also address the congregation here. I want us to turn to God's word. If you have a Bible with you, I want to read from the Old Testament and the second book of Chronicles and chapter 27. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's only 9 verses long. So the second book of Chronicles and chapter 27. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. A simple verse which I emphasized in that reading, that sixth verse in this chapter. So, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. A simple verse, and yet packed with implications. Here was a young man. You are young people, most of you. He wasn't a grey-haired old Israelite who was some sort of sage or ultra-wise man ready to drop wisdom to all whom he met. No, he was a young man, 25 years old when he began to reign. There are things about Jotham's life which can particularly help young people tonight as they graduate, as you are on the throes and on the edge of moving on in life. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Let me tell you something first about Jotham that we know about. First of all, Jotham's parents. Now, parents are important people, aren't they? You wouldn't be here, any of you, without parents. His dad was Uzziah, the king of Judah. That made him a prince in his early years. And Uzziah, his dad's name, means, "My strength is Jehovah." His mom was a lady called Jerusha. Her name means someone being taken possession of, in the sense of a godly husband taking her into his home and leading her. His grandpa was a man called Zadok. Several Zadoks in scripture. The name comes from a Hebrew word which means just and righteous. Most of the Zadoks in scripture were priests. So if the names of the relatives are anything to go by, then Jotham had a good start. A godly father and mother, grandparents too. My strength is Jehovah. I'm possessed, just and righteous. And so straight away, we can learn something very helpful. It is a blessed thing to be born into a Christian family, to have parents and grandparents who are believers in the Lord God. There is, of course, no guarantee that a child born into such a family will definitely come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But there is such a good start when you're born into a Christian family. If you have believing parents, then you've had that head start in life. Because you have parents that pray for you. Parents that give you a godly example in the preparation for life. That are prepared to teach you the ways of the Lord by their example. And care enough for your souls that they will make you to hear the gospel, which is what all of us need most of all, as we heard in the introduction this evening. And they'll have such a priority in caring for your soul as they do in feeding your bodies. Perhaps there are some who do not come from a Christian home tonight. But you do know that the Lord can act in a person's life by his Holy Spirit and call you by grace to trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even without a godly home, you can hear the gospel. And that's because God's grace, as we sang about a moment ago, is irresistible. And when you are converted, the Lord makes up for what you lack that you might have had in your family. But Jotham became a king while his father was still living. It was called a co-regency. There was an important reason why that happened. Uzziah, his dad, godly man though he was, made a mistake at the end of his life. And he usurped the position of a priest and went to the temple and burned incense, which was against the law of Moses and God's plan for the people of God. And God was not pleased with him and struck him with leprosy. And he had to spend the rest of his days in what's called in the scripture a separate house. That is, like a leprosarium, to keep him separate from others in case they caught the disease. But he was still the king. What was he to do? And so from that time on, Jotham, who was Uzziah's heir, had to take over, age 25, a tender age. And he became administrator of the kingdom. We read in the previous chapter, in 2 Kings chapter 15, Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. We thought about his parents' name. What about Jotham's name itself? Jotham means Jehovah is perfect. Now, when a baby is born into any home, into any family, then parents and siblings and grandparents all gather round and they look at this baby and say, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he? Isn't she wonderful? A perfect baby. And they look and they admire and they say, oh, wonderful. Babies do look perfect, don't they? So new, so beautiful, so cuddly. Uzziah and Jerusha looked down at their new baby son 25 years earlier than our passage. And they said, Jehovah is perfect. Not Jotham is perfect, but Jehovah is perfect. And that's because he is the perfect, all-wise, gracious, mighty Lord God. The creator of all things, the sustainer of us today, the almighty God who is present by his Spirit. And these parents, like all parents, would find that Jotham actually was not perfect. He was a sinner like them. They passed on their sin to him, as we parents pass on to our children. And little Jotham, that sinful boy, had a perfect God. Jehovah is perfect. Now Jotham, the king. His reign lasted for 16 years, we read. But that was including these several years when his father still reigned. And he achieved a great deal in that short space of time. And for one so young, he excelled as a military strategist, as a builder, continuing to build up Jerusalem and many of the cities round about in Judah, castles and towers and other establishments. He built a particular wall in Jerusalem. It's mentioned here in this chapter, the Ophel Wall. And all that's been mentioned about this young man is very positive. A statesman, army general, builder, designer, palace administrator. But is it from these interesting aspects of his life that we learn a lesson tonight? No. Even though these are good and admirable things, it is something else that will interest us. It's that comment of this sixth verse. So Jotham became mighty. And then the reason, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And so I want us to think about six things about Jotham. Six things which can be guided by his name. The six letters of his name, Jotham. Jotham knew Jehovah, the Lord God. That's the J. The O, Jotham obeyed the Lord God. The T, Jotham trusted in the Lord God. The H, Jotham prepared his heart to serve the Lord God. The A, Jotham had an aim in life, and that was to glorify God. And finally, the M, Jotham became mighty. Because he prepared his heart and his ways to serve the Lord God. And these six things are crucial in the life of any human being. To know God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a priority. To obey him, to trust him, to have a real aim, a lofty aim, to have a prepared heart, and then to be mighty in a humble and faithful way. Let's see how these things worked out in Jotham's life. First of all, the J then. Jotham knew Jehovah the Lord God. Here it is in our text. He became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Because the Lord God Jehovah was Jotham's God. There were good kings and there were bad kings, both in Judah and in Israel. It was said of King David before he became king. And David was greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It was said of Solomon, David's son. Then Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. And we could go on with other examples of godly men who had the Lord God Jehovah as their personal God, the Lord his God. And the point for us is this: the Lord God Jehovah must, in the Lord Jesus Christ, be known to us personally. It is easy to say, I know God. It is easy to say, I know the Lord. It's easy to say that I know Jesus Christ. But what do we mean by those statements? Knowledge of Jesus Christ is a personal knowledge through an encounter of being converted, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And what are the signs that we know any person? The usual sign is that we know we have met them. I know about our English Prime Minister. I know about Her Majesty the Queen, but I've met neither of them. I know about them, but I don't know them personally. They have not met me. I know about them. But when you become a Christian, it is that you have met by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, through grace, through a personal encounter with him, so that the Holy Spirit floods your souls and you say, I know him. Paul the missionary spent years and years studying at the feet of Gamaliel, learning all these things about the Jewish faith, about Jehovah. But he did not know him until he met him on that road to Damascus. Until he met him when the Lord God confronted him, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself presented himself to him in a bright and a shining light. Who art thou, Lord? He asked. I am Jesus whom thou art persecuting. And he was converted. He came to know the Lord. And I ask you tonight, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? In the way that I've explained, through an experience of the Lord. And we come to know him when we acknowledge and recognize our need of him, our need to be born again, our need to be saved, our need to have our sins forgiven, our need to be right with God and prepared for heaven, but only through that relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And it is different from just knowing about him. We are in the hands of a mighty God who hates sin, who hates those things about us that are wrong, that are not according to his glory. He hates our lies, our cheating. He hates our swearing. He hates our taking his name in vain, our neglect of his day, the Sabbath day. He hates our lustful thoughts and our pride and his dishonesty. He made us, but we are fallen creatures. And we're sinning in all kinds of ways, because all of us have sinned and all of us deserve the judgment of God. And our sins estrange us from God and condemn us. But there's something else. It's also one thing to know our sins and to know that we have done wrong and to know that we do not come up to the standards of God. It's one thing to know that, but quite another to have left them behind in an experience called repentance, of coming to God and recognizing our sin and abandoning it and finishing it with it forever. And we come to Christ and ask him, Lord, will you save me? Lord, is it possible that you can forgive me, a sinner? I'm so burdened with my guilt of sin. Can you ever forgive me, Lord? That's how we have to come. And having a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ is an indication that we have come to know him. I wonder if you've done this, my friend, in the congregation, amongst the students. I believe that Jotham was a king who did that. You know, he did not know Jehovah as the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do, but he is the same God, and he had that personal relationship. He knew his name. He knew the name of the mighty God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whom we know as Jesus, Savior. So yes, Jotham knew Jehovah, his Lord. Secondly, Jotham obeyed the Lord God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. And there it is in that second verse. There are six people in the scriptures who have this phrase about them, that did what was right in the sight of the Lord. King Joash in 2 Kings 14 and verse 3, that's Jotham's great-grandfather. King Amaziah, Jotham's grandfather. His own father, Uzziah, the king of Judah. Jotham himself. Hezekiah, Jotham's grandson. And Josiah, Jotham's great-great-grandson. Only six kings are described in this way, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. All those six kings came from Judah in the south. There were other kings in the north. There were 22 kings in Judah and 19 in Israel. And none of those in Israel can have been said to have followed the ways of the Lord. And that's so sad. And yet our hero Jotham is one of those in a line of good kings who judges, God judges what that they have done right in his sight. Now, we all have problems of obedience. We have problems of our obedience right from the beginning of our lives. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ is able to transform us by his Holy Spirit coming and taking up residence within our souls and leading us to follow his word, to obey his word. All the precepts of the Lord are righteous and good. So Jotham, was he obedient? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That is, he obeyed the Lord. But the thing is, do we? Are we obedient people tonight? And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you obedient to his word? Through his word, the Lord God speaks to us and gives us direction for life. This is the way to walk. This is the way to go. Seek righteousness in every opportunity of one's life. And to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey him. Young people graduating, learn early how to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Because actually that's the adventure of being a Christian. Thirdly, Jotham trusted the Lord God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit he entered not into the temple of God. And that was right. He did not follow his father's example in disobeying the Lord. But he trusted the Lord. He did not do the same as his dad. And sometimes we have to examine everything. That even if we do have godly parents, we need to look for their example, that it squares with the scriptures, that they are doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. And then we follow. And he saw, Jotham did, he saw what happened to his dad. He saw the penalty for disobeying the Lord God. And that was a warning to him. He also found out why he should not do what his dad did. Because God's work has to be done in God's way, by the people whom God has appointed. And trust is involving what God has called us to do and accepting what he has said and doing what he requires. In Proverbs 3, the writing of one of Jotham's ancestors, King Solomon, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What a timeless text this is. And I believe that Jotham valued this scripture And it's valuable for us too. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust him with our soul, with our very being, with our present and with our future. Trust him for all you have for eternity. There will be times when you will have times of pain, bewilderness, sorrow, darkness, temptation, wondering where to turn. But lean not to thine own understanding. I wonder if we know what that means. It means that we as human beings have our own sinful understandings of our situations in life. And we think we know what is right and we understand it fully. God says, you don't know, but I do. So come to me. You need me to guide you. Don't try to go it alone in life. I say that to you as the future spreads before you. Do not lean to your own understanding. Seek the Lord as often as you can in every situation. Seek the wisdom of his word in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He trusted the Lord. Jotham did that. You know what trusting the Lord is? It's declaring that we need him so much and asking him to show us the right way in life. Fourthly is the H of Jotham, and that is he prepared his heart. The text says he prepared his ways. But preparing your heart is a priority, a crucial priority, if your ways are to be right ways in the future. Because preparation is a vital part of your life for the future. My grandfather was a stickler for preparation. I used to go to help him sometimes and to decorate a room in his house in his retirement. And I would be ready there with a paintbrush, and he would be ready with a piece of sandpaper to do the preparation. I wanted to wade straight in with the work and the materials. He insisted that we empty the room, take all the furniture out, put down sheets on the ground, on the floor, and wash it and prepare it and sandpaper it and make it nice and smooth before we could ever start the painting. And only then could the work that I really wanted to do begin. Preparation is the key, he said, and it makes all the difference to the finished result. Actually, I didn't like it very much, but now I see the value of it. Preparation. You've been involved in preparation in your studies because it's necessary for life too. And through the chess program and through Chambers College, you've been preparing. You've been preparing your minds, but how much you've been preparing your hearts. And that is important. Jotham was wise. He did know something about heart preparation because his ways were going to be difficult as king of Judah. How could this happen? Preparing the heart. First of all, he was sensitive to the leading of God, the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord God who influences his people. He's ready when he finds a willing heart, someone who is willing to follow him, to prepare that heart for service. It's the same with all of us, whatever our life is. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord God, we need to be prepared by the Holy Spirit. Are you asking him day after day, coming to him every day, Lord, lead me into the right way? That preparation is spiritual, but it is rooted in our primary relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do it ourselves, but we must be willing to come to him. And then secondly, Jotham was willing to be godly. He prepared himself. That meant he was serious about his heart. Worship in the temple would be a priority for him as he worshipped Jehovah. Personal devotion to the Lord was his habit. Prayer and instruction from God's word was important to him. Resisting the influences of other young men, maybe there were other princes around and other people in the court there, men and women who would lead him astray. And guarding his heart was a big thing with Jotham. It comes through in the scripture. But how big a thing is it for you as you prepare your heart for the future? How important is worship to you? Is it a priority in your life? Is it regular? Is it casual? What about your personal prayer and devotional life? Your Bible reading and your prayer? Do you guard your heart with regard to what you read, what you watch, what social media are involved with? Is your heart being guarded? It needs to be, not just from now on, but for the rest of your life. Is your heart guarded as far as your relationships concerned and those with whom you mix, your friendships, who you hang around with? You know, it's much safer to choose Christian friends than who do not lead you astray, rather than those friends who do not know the Lord and are much likely to move you away to the other values that they have. And that's as much of preparing the heart that Jotham did for the future. And that's staying safe in this wicked era that we live in. Are we willing to be godly like Jotham? Will we be like him? Will we ask God to help us in this? I pray for you that you do. To have hearts that have been changed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hearts that are in tune with his will. He prepared his heart. And then, fifthly, Jotham had an aim. The aim was to prepare as well his ways as well as his heart, which meant following the Lord God. How much the Bible says about the ways of a man or a woman. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ways at the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a wrong way to go in life as well as a right way. It seems to be the right way at first. Jotham was distrustful of himself, and so he prepared his ways according to God's ways. And when he had an idea for something in his kingdom, he went to God and asked him. And when the Ammonites attacked, he first went to God. He spread the situation before the Lord and asked for guidance. When he had to meet an important ambassador from another country, he first went to God, sought the Lord's help for dealing with this person. He didn't trust himself to make right decisions. He trusted in the Lord to direct his paths. He was a young man, and he would have known one of his ancestors' psalms, Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And young men and women need to know that there is a potential to go in a way that is polluted and unclean. And here is David's counsel to the young man, to the young woman from Psalm 119, to take heed to God's word. That is because there is a perpetual problem with our sinful hearts. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And we have the capacity to convince ourselves that we are doing what is righteous. But the Lord has other ideas as he looks at us and weighs our souls. He measures our motives. He gauges our attitudes because he knows us. And Joseph's aim was to prepare his heart and his ways so that they please the Lord. Are you looking to the Lord to please him for the future? And there are rewards with the Lord when we seek to please him. What are our ways like? Are they chaotic or prepared? Do we have a godly life? Or do we run according to our instincts? Could we have the same aim as Jotham? To really take time to prepare our hearts and ways to be godly takes effort. We have an advantage over King Jotham because we can look back to a perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look up to our Savior, the only perfect man. Jehovah is perfect. He is the Lord. And that's where we must look. That's where you must look, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek to walk in his ways. So Jotham prepared his heart. And then finally, and I'm nearly done, Jotham became mighty because he had prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Jotham became mighty, the scripture says. He was not always mighty. He began as an ordinary prince living in a palace with his family. He began weak and in his background until he was thrust into office, high office as the king of Judah, earlier than he thought. And we begin our Christian lives in the same sort of way. We begin weak. Yes, we're converted, but there's so much to know, so much to learn. We're like little children, just born. And we need nurture and care. We have been changed by grace. Yes, of course we have. But there's more preparation needed, and Jotham teaches us that. We do not become mighty in the Lord right from the word go. And your education has been a first step on the way to becoming mighty. Mighty for God as Christian people who will be effective for the Master in this day and generation. What were the features of Jotham's might? Well, he became mighty in a military sense. Some of you may go on to military might. He had a skill as a commander of the army. There's a little phrase in verse 7 that says that the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. We're not told about what other wars he fought, but that there were some. But he became mighty spiritually. This was the most important way he became mighty. And as he progressed in life, as he learnt through the experience of trusting the Lord, of walking in his ways, he became mighty. And you, my friends, have spiritual battles ahead of you. And yet you can be a Jotham. How can you do that? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Becoming strong in Christ is vital. Maintain your devotional life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. My prayer is for you that you might be like Jotham, one who prepared his ways. You have been preparing. You might think, this is the end of my preparation now. No, it's the beginning. The academic side has come, the studies, the diligence in reading and preparing. But you know there's preparation for the rest of your life now. And I pray that you will be mighty like Jotham, with hearts prepared to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for him, to glorify him in everything. And I pray it will be for you, that the mighty Lord God might be your God in every way, and that preparation that goes on from now may be your portion. For his glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank thee and bless thee for thy word. We thank thee for its instruction. We pray that thou wilt enable our friends here who have done so much work together, that they might now go forth into the world prepared in heart and mind and in soul to live for Jesus Christ in all their ways, to follow the Master, Jesus our Saviour. And may they know not only their weakness but the strength of the Saviour, and that they may indeed be mighty people for Jesus' sake. Amen.